Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's a grand slam roar at Augusta National.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Denver locks up the number 4 seed.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And the Clippers catch the current when it counts and sail into the playoffs.
Earlier on the show, longtime golf writer Alan Shipnuck. Still to come, actor Delroy Lindo. Georgia safety Malachi Starks. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
It's hour number 2 here on the Rich Eisen Show, and we're very excited to kick things off with an in-studio guest. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll take your phone calls later on in this hour. But one of the stars of the film Sinners that's available in theater nationwide this Friday, April 18th, is here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm a big fan of his work, and I'm not saying that just because he's sitting here watching me introduce him. Ladies and gentlemen, Delroy Lindo is here the program. Good to see
you. Thank you. Good to be here.
You got it. When you get a script for the movie Sinners, how did this one hit you? Because this is definitely not your normal fare, and you also have a director like Ryan Coogler behind it. I'm wondering how this hit you when you first wound up with the script in front of you.
Well, first of all, Ryan Coogler, director,
yes.
Right? This film was not called Sinners when I got the script.
Oh, yeah?
It was not. There was a pseudonym attached to it, or a working title. And I read it, and it was clear to me in terms of how I interpreted what I was reading,
yes,
that the film seemed to be about one thing on the surface,
yes,
but there was a much deeper meaning for me, and that's what resonated for me.
And the issue of me trying to talk about it is I don't want to reveal too much here.
Right.
So what would you want people to know about this movie, Delroy?
What I would want people to know is that it is an allegory. It's as I said, about one thing on the surface, but yes, it's about something else, a much deeper meaning, as far as I'm concerned, having to do with how a community gets infiltrated and what happens when that community gets infiltrated.
And it's a supernatural film, right?
It is.
It's definitely different in that respect.
It's an extended reality, right?
Yeah.
Or a hyper reality. But all of that, as far as I'm concerned, oh, look, that's an ugly dude right there.
No, it's you, sir. You're Delta Slim.
I am.
And this film is set in the 1930s Jim Crow era South.
1932.
In Mississippi, yeah, to be exact.
That's right, Clarkdale.
Right.
The thing that always resonated for me from the time that I read the script was the fact that it was this deeper meaning. That's what I discussed with Ryan when he and I started talking about this, and he concurred. You know, he affirmed what my thoughts were,
mm-hmm,
and so from that standpoint, we were always in sync in terms of the story he wanted to tell and how I would help him tell that story.
Did you see Black Panther?
I did.
Okay. What'd you think of that?
It was an event.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of, and I mean that in a positive sense.
Of course.
It was a cultural moment as far as I was concerned. In a very similar way to Malcolm X, and that was a cultural moment. And from that standpoint, Black Panther felt very much like a cultural moment, a very, very impactful piece of cinema, but also impactful socially and culturally.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Malcolm X was what put you on Ryan Coogler's radar screen in life. Like, for him, that's where he first watched you act.
Yeah,
was in that
he said
film.
That. He said that to me a few times, that the film and my participation in the film, the kind of influence that experience had on him mm-hmm. as a young person. I think he went to see it with his dad, and he's talked about how it impacted him and how I, as an actor, impacted him being part of that project.
Where did you grow up?
England.
You in England?
Yeah, my family is Jamaican.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was part of a movement of Caribbean people from the Caribbean to England.
Yes.
Jamaica specifically, but all throughout the Caribbean, all the Caribbean islands that used to be part of what was known then as the British Commonwealth.
Sure.
And my mom was part of a whole movement of people who emigrated from the Caribbean to England post-World War II.
And you had asked me before we sat down and we came on the air here about how I got started. When did you realize acting was for you, Delroy Lindo? When did that happen?
Yeah, any interviews that I've done,
mm-hmm.
I almost said any interviews that I did, mm-hmm. any interviews that I've done in the past, I've told the same story, and that is that as a five-year-old doing the nativity play in you know the Christmas pageant,
sure.
We Three Kings, over.
Right.
And that's when I got the bug. That's when I realized that I wanted to. When I grew up, I wanted to be an actor. So it really, literally started when I was five.
Okay. Well, I've got a list of things about your career, you know, that I want to know if it's true or not.
So hold up. Did you get them from IMDb?
Well, I mean, I don't want to reveal the sources. Let's just say they're from the internet, Delroy.
We have a crack okay. staff.
They're from the internet.
And
these our fans, kindly, we're appreciative. Dig this segment. It's called Celebrity True or False.
Okay.
And it comes with some top-notch production value, if you don't mind. Go ahead and hit it.
Have at it.
Celebrity True or False.
You can't handle the truth.
That's our production value. That's it. What do you think?
Next level. I couldn't quite hear, but
it's okay.
I'm with it.
There you go. Delroy Lindo, Celebrity True or False. First up, you've been in four Spike Lee films, but actually turned down the first role he ever offered you for Do the Right Thing.
False-ish, in as much as he didn't offer it to me. Mm-hmm. He asked me to come in and audition.
Okay.
And I declined to audition for
Why?
That.
Why?
Because I did not feel that this sounds so arrogant and misguided. I didn't feel, I was concerned that the part would not be impactful enough. And I was coming, I had done this big play on Broadway called mm-hmm. Joe Turner's Come and Gone,
mm-hmm.
A huge piece of work. And I just was concerned that the part that he was wanting me to come in and audition for, I just didn't feel like it was going to be impactful enough. And so I graciously declined. Thank God he came back to me for Malcolm X.
And which do you remember which role it was?
In Do the Right Thing, there are three, they're like a Greek chorus. Robin Harris was one.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Robin Harris. Robin Harris, Frankie Faison, and the third, and I cannot remember the name of the third actor, but it was to play, he wanted me to audition mm-hmm. to play one of those three, like the Greek chorus.
And at the time you just didn't sense it?
I didn't feel it. can't remember now. I don't think I read the whole script.
Mm.
So at that time, they would have given me what we call sides, just lines from the scenes.
Sure.
And I didn't feel it.
You didn't feel it.
Actor Paul Benjamin, who played ML, was
Paul
the,
Benjamin.
Was
thank
the third
you.
One, yes, sir.
There you go.
That department's good, man.
We are all listening and attuned.
Come on,
that's how we roll here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Come on,
yeah, you're not
Paul Benjamin. God bless him. Yeah. So it was Paul Benjamin,
right.
Frankie Faison, and Robin Harris.
Have you subsequently told Spike that you didn't think the movie was going to be as impactful?
No, not the movie. The role. The role.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I did.
Okay. Well, he didn't hold it against you
thank
at all.
God.
Not at all. Next one, Delroy Lindo. True or false? We know this is true. You portrayed legendary pitcher Satchel Paige in the movie Soul of the Game.
I did.
But is it true you never played baseball a day in your life before this movie? Is that true?
It's true, man. So wait. Hold up.
It's fine.
No. Hold up.
Yeah.
There is a game called Rounders.
Okay.
I guess it's British.
Okay.
And it's a very similar concept in as much as it's played with a stick, a bat.
Yeah.
And there are four bases and you have to hit the ball and run around the bases. That's the closest that I ever got to playing. And it's called Rounders. But no, I never played baseball. God bless. I just actually spoke with Kevin Rodney Sullivan, the director. We actually texted, and we were remembering. He said to me when Kevin and I met, and I said to him, "No, man, I've never played baseball." He didn't believe me. And then we went across the street to Central Park, and he had me to pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, when he saw me pitching, he believed it.
Just one throw? One pitch is all it took?
That's all it took, man.
You're a great actor, but not that great. That's funny. So how did you get up to speed? Like,
yeah,
what did you do?
I had a lot of help. I had a guy, and I'm terrible. Maybe your department will can help me.
Yes.
There was a young man who was the nephew of one of the great baseball players,
mm-hmm.
Joey somebody.
Okay.
I did pitching with him.
Okay.
There were like three gentlemen who just I worked with constantly. Because, you know, as you know,
yeah.
Not only was Satchel Paige one of the greats,
yes.
The dude,
yeah.
He also had a very particular pitching style. His leg would go up. He was a showman amongst other than being, in addition to being an incredible athlete. And so I worked with your department. Joey was his first name, and he is the nephew of
one of the all-time greats.
One of the all-time greats.
Okay.
So I worked with him, and there were two other gentlemen who I worked with pre-production, during rehearsal, and during production constantly to sell
mm-hmm.
that I was Satchel Paige on the mound.
Did you play any sports as
yeah,
a kid? Or
I did.
What'd you do?
I played soccer.
Okay. That's the British upbringing, the Caribbean, and exactly. Okay.
And I played soccer, or as it's called in England, football.
Football. Yeah, I know.
And
yeah, we're
I was good. But yeah, so and I was also track and field. I was a sprinter. And then I transitioned as I got older to cross country.
Well, because we have a crack staff here. Joey Banks, Ernie's relative.
Come on, Joey Banks.
Joey Banks, and he was the one who helped you pitch as Satchel Paige.
How do you do that?
How do we do this?
No, how do you get the info so quickly?
Yeah, I don't know. We just
you just got it like that.
It's the internet.
Oh,
next one for you, Delroy Lindo. True or false? You got your role in Get Shorty over Samuel L. Jackson?
No, not over Samuel. False.
Okay.
So the answer is false.
Okay.
Sam was doing something else.
Okay.
Sam was not available. let's be clear about that.
Okay.
And actually, I believe, if I'm accurate,
mm-hmm.
if memory serves, they wanted Sam because Sam's a wonderful actor, but also they were looking to re-team him with John Travolta because they had just had a huge success with Pulp Fiction.
I see.
And Sam was not available. That's when they came to me.
What was it like on that set? It just seemed it was such a fun movie for to take in. I'm just wondering what it was.
Terrific. It was, okay, let me be honest. First of all, it was a terrific script. I remember reading the script and thinking, whoa. Then I read the book.
The Elmore Leonard book.
Dutch Leonard, Elmore Leonard. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, great, great book and a wonderful adaptation on the screenplay. And it was a really, really good experience. It was very rich, very full. But I have to say it was my first time working on a, after working with Spike, I had done three films with Spike, back to back to back. Mm-hmm. Malcolm X, Crooklyn, and Clockers. And I got offered Get Shorty on the heels of having, on the back of doing those three films. And after working with Spike, which is a certain experience, this was the first film that I did with major movie stars, and even though I had done Malcolm X with Denzel, who's a major movie star, this was slightly different, and it took me a minute to adjust. I'll give you a funny story.
Sure.
My first day on set, I walked into my camper, and there were bags of Adidas equipment, a couple bags of Adidas. And I opened up the bags, and there were sneakers in there. There were sweats. There were sweaters, T-shirts. Mm-hmm. And I picked up the bags, and I walked outside, and I said to one of the ADs, I said, excuse me, these bags were in my room. There must be a mistake. Because I didn't. And they said, no, 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 that's for you. That's swag. Oh.
That's the first swag bag you've ever received?
That was the first swag
bag. Oh, wow.
It's on the set of Get Shorty?
On the set of Get Shorty.
Who's the one who...
Now, Spike had been very, very generous with me in as much as, for instance, on Malcolm X, I got some of the suits, Crooklyn. I'd always gotten things from the films that I'd worked on, but like official swag, like... from a company.
Yeah.
Yes, that was the first time.
Well, I mean, Spike must have had a Nike relationship. This is Adidas bag. I mean, Spike was Mars Blackman before he was when he was doing all this stuff.
And as
you.
I said, just to be clear, I was given on those productions the stuff that I've worn in the film.
Yeah.
But to walk into my camper and see two bags full of stuff. There must be a mistake.
Was that Travolta's doing? Who was it? Do we remember who was doing
we
it?
We don't care. I took it. I don't care who's doing it.
Stuff we all get.
That's right.
I got two more for you, Delroy Lindo. True or false, working with Denzel Washington on Malcolm X was the very first time you had ever met him.
No, false. Denzel and I were students together.
Where?
At the American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco.
When was this?
1977.
No kidding.
Yep. First year.
You and Denzel Washington are taking lessons together, act classes.
Well, he was in a different cohort. He was in a different group, but we were all our first years together. He was in one group. I was in another. But that's when I met Denzel. And he left after the first year. I stayed a second year. Denzel left because his, at that time, television career was already taking off. He called me a few months after he had...
Saint Elsewhere? That's what he was on.
Saint Elsewhere.
No kidding.
He was working with, check this out.
Yeah.
He was working with John Cassavetes on something.
Okay.
And called me and said, yeah, man. So the answer to the question is that is false. He and I, Denzel and I, been together at ACT.
So what was it like for you to be working with Denzel Washington on a Spike Lee film of this significance?
Fabulous. It was incredible. When I auditioned for the part, And I read opposite Denzel, and there was a, I don't want to say ease, just the familiarity. It made the process that much more comfortable. It was terrific working on with him on that film, and it was terrific working on that film in particular.
I mean, is there any ad-libbing with him or anything like that? Or you, like, what's it like being in a scene with him?
There may have been a little ad-libbing.
Sure.
There were a couple things that I added in some scenes, but it was a well-written script. And when you have good material, you know, there's kind of sort of no need.
Well, it's a Spike Lee joint. So what, you got a good Spike Lee story that you're willing to share with us, Delroy Lindo, about being directed by him or anything like that?
Okay, I have a wonderful story.
Please.
It's too long. I'm going to give you the short version.
Okay.
I had auditioned for Malcolm X. I did two auditions. Mm-hmm. My second audition was in New York. And I had to, after the audition, I had to get on a plane to come to Los Angeles because I was doing reshoots on another film that I had done.
Mm-hmm.
I do the audition in New York. I get on the plane. I go to Los Angeles. When I land in Los Angeles, my agent at that time says, "You got the part." Oh, dang. Wonderful. Then he told me what the monetary offer was. No, man, I'm not working for that. So, no. You tell them, I'm not working for that. So I then start getting messages that Spike wants to talk to me. I got like three messages in the course of like 4 or 5 days. Spike wants to talk to you. No, I'm not talking to Spike.
You're putting him on ice?
I'm putting him on ice. No, man, I'm saying to the agent, y'all do your thing. I'm not talking to Spike. No, man, y'all just give me some more money. After the fourth attempt by Spike to try speaking with me, I get a call from my agent. The offer has been rescinded. And I remember very clearly. Now, my wife had been saying, when she heard Spike wanted to talk to me, my wife said, "Talk to Spike." No, I'm not talking to Spike. I ain't talking to Spike. Let the agents do their thing. Then it was a Friday afternoon. We were out here in Los Angeles, in a house up in the Hollywood Hills, the pool, blah, blah. I get a call from my agent at the time. The offer's been rescinded.
Mm-hmm.
My wife says, I was gray. I came back. She said, what's the matter? I said, they just pulled the offer. I told you to talk to Spike.
That.
They pulled the offer. Wait. So I get Spike's producer on the phone, John Killick. I say, John. He said, no, man, we've offered it to somebody else. I said, well, let me talk to Spike.
Did you get him?
Wait. So we've made an offer. So I was on my way back to New York. I did get Spike. It was a Sunday evening, and Spike said, John told me you'd offered it to somebody else. He said, yeah, well, who'd you offer it to? And they had offered it to Sidney Poitier.
Oh.
But as much respect as I have for Sydney, I felt that Sydney wouldn't do it because Sydney was doing another film.
Okay.
Your research department.
Yes.
What's the film? Your research department. What's the film that Sydney did with about computer hackers? Dan Aykroyd was in it, I think.
So he was doing that instead of Malcolm X?
Sneakers.
Not instead. Sneakers.
It's the internet, Delroy. It's the internet.
Sneakers.
And my people.
I knew that Sydney was doing Sneakers because I had also auditioned for Sneakers.
Okay.
I knew he was doing it.
So you had the inside information.
But also, I also felt like, no, Weston and Archie is my. So Spike said, Sydney has the script for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't do it,
mm-hmm.
the party's yours. I'll call you tomorrow. This was a Sunday evening. Monday evening, he called me and says, you're in. And the monetary offer.
Yes.
that he had offered is exactly what I did the film for. So all you young actors out there, it's not always about the money.
Right.
Had I not done Malcolm X, I can't imagine.
I know. Last one for you, Delroy Lindo. True or false, you performed all your own stunts and Gone in 60 Seconds, but you wrecked a BMW.
It's true. It's true.
You wrecked a BMW?
I wrecked a BMW. I didn't wreck it, but I smashed the front of it, which is wreck. I smashed it. the BMW and a fire hydrant with me behind the wheel of the BMW. We came together. We had it coming together, which was not scripted. So yes, that is true.
I love the number of ways you just verbalized something to not confirm that you wrecked it. You and the front fender and a hydrant came together.
And that's fantastic. That's true.
Delroy Lindo, what a pleasure it is to meet you and have you here in support of Sinners. You and what a cast, and Michael B. Jordan, Haley Steinfeld, Jack O'Connell, and you, just to name a few. And it is directed and written by the great Ryan Coogler, the fifth movie that Ryan and Michael B. Jordan have done together.
Right.
You play the role of Delta Slim in a must-see called Sinners in theaters nationwide this Friday. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Right back at you. Delroy Lindo here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. We know just how fast your life moves. You have bills to pay, mouths to feed, and not a lot of free time. That's why we created an all-in-one banking experience that lets you keep on banking on. It can save you time and money with new lightning-fast direct deposit setup, and it offers checking accounts with ATM refunds and no service fees. Plus, whether you have credit or not, you can build your credit score with the new ability to report on-time bill payments. And with personalized financial insights on My Making Sense, the ability to view all your accounts in one place, custom notifications, and 24/7 fraud protection, you can get a full picture of your finances. So if you want an all-in-one banking experience that lets you keep on banking on, sign up today. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Insured by NCUA. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Let's take some phone calls. The second line, let's go to line two. Who's that on that line?
That's Crystal? Janine in Billings.
Okay, let's go for it. Janine in Billings, Montana. What's going on?
It's a beautiful day in Billings, Montana. How are you doing, Rich?
I am thrilled to be chatting with Big Sky Country right now. What's going on?
So I had the awesome privilege of being at the 2009 Masters on Thursday when it was Rory's absolute debut with his curly hair. And he was in the second to the last group, and I just parked my little chair at 16 for the whole day.
16.
And the best part about the Masters, no phones. Cheap food, great drinks. But to see him complete that full circle, absolutely priceless.
Well, you know, and a couple things just to hit on right here. You know, you must have been living on the edge of your seat, right? Like the rest of us yesterday watching that, Jenny?
It was gut wrenching. You know, you're just like, you know, like he was saying, your heart rate is just up in the 150s, just waiting. You know, Brockman, it totally gets you. I was right there with you. But you were just. I was almost afraid to watch the day because I'm like, oh, what if he crashes again? You know, but nervous.
I know.
Nervous.
And by the way, he did crash multiple times.
I know.
And that's what, again, made Sunday so epic. And thanks for the call, Janine. Call back anytime. Made it so epic. That it was his entire career in 19 holes.
Yep. You know? I thought it was kind of big of Rory to admit how nervous he was ahead of time. You don't really hear that out of pro athletes saying, look, yeah, I was really nervous for this big event that you guys all thought I would just be super calm and cool because I'm a pro about. He's a real person. And I think that's why I love Rory so much is because like Alan was saying earlier, he wears everything on his sleeve. He tells you exactly who he is all the time. The good, the bad. He does regret certain things. But you can't really appreciate the highs and the great moments without living through the lows. And that's what this guy has done. We've seen it firsthand for the last decade, especially the last couple of years in majors. It was awesome. It's a special day. I'll never forget it.
I know. You love Rory. You're the Rich Eisen Show leader in the loving Rory clubhouse for sure. And all you needed to do just to calm your nerves that it was just reach out to me. I knew he was going to do it all along.
I got to tell you what, man. I was not into your bit of trying to jinx him four ways to Sunday.
I was not trying to jinx him. How dare you?
I was not having it.
I was not trying to jinx him. I knew you were on the edge of your seat.
Out of our thinking, text exchange.
And so I was basically like saying, oh, you guys got this, man. You guys got this.
You were then trolling yesterday.
I wasn't trolling. I was just like trying to break tension a little bit. I was on the edge of my seat,
dude,
too.
When he hit it in the drink on 13. Oh. I think you know you heard that story about the guy who had the heart attack when Jerome Bettis fumbled in the AFC Championship game. I think my heart stopped.
But I sent you a your guys got this after
on
you
Saturday night. You were jinxing.
No. Yes. On Sunday after he birdied 10, I'm like, your guys got this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he nearly put it in the water and you sent me in all caps, that was your fault. And I'm like, it didn't go in the water.
I did.
Later, it's the latest proof. It's the latest proof.
That was your fault.
That was going to be his day. It was his day. Poppy put it in on a par 3 tournament. You know, she drained one. His daughter drained one. His daughter drained one on Wednesday. It was his week. I knew it. I knew he had it all along. And you were just you were all capsing me in return.
I was all capsing you.
You know?
It's crazy to think, too, if take away all the four double bogeys. No one's ever won.
Oh, my God.
With more than two double bogeys, and he had four. Take away all the dumb stuff that he did.
Yeah.
He wins this tournament by 8 to 10 strokes.
Unbelievable.
He really was the best player out there.
It's a Monday, so let's get to it. It's Overreaction Monday. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
On a Monday.
Hey, everybody, you good?
Just let everyone know. Well, you can check the room, whoever everyone else
TJ,
is good.
TJ, you good?
I'm straight.
Wait till Mania. That's going to be awesome.
We're going to be doing an Overreaction Monday podcast next Monday in advance of the draft, the following Monday after the draft.
That's right.
And we're going to be at the draft taking the show for 3 days to Green Bay, Wisconsin next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Apparently, they have Pelissero was telling us about house bars in Green Bay, so we're going to a bunch of those.
Sounds great.
So reach out if you want to
I haven't seen any tweets about it.
People, where are you? Rich, I'm sure you saw this over the weekend, but the Browns signed Joe Flacco. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. But it was their newest quarterback who made the biggest headlines. And even if the Browns take a quarterback in the draft, Kenny Pickett is going to be the week one starter.
Well, I know what Kenny said. He's not there to, what was his quote?
He's not there to not be the starter, right. Essentially.
Okay. Very good. The signing of Flacco and Pickett makes me think they're not going to cough up any draft capital to go get Kirk Cousins. That's how I'm reading this. I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop. They may get a quarterback, but I don't think it's going to be Shador with the second overall pick. So they may get a quarterback to kick off night two. And if that's the case, could that kid Russell Wilson it and get the gig anyway? Entirely possible. Not likely, not to conflate our Friday and Monday segments. So at this point in time, I will agree with you that this is not an overreaction, and that if it's Pickett and Flacco, they're going to try and see what they have in Pickett first. I think that makes complete sense. And, you know, I'll stick with it. That's the way I'm viewing it. The way I view it, again, is Pickett and Flacco means they're not going to trade draft capital for Kirk Cousins and pick up that salary. So, not an overreaction. I'll take that one for you, Chris.
All right. How about this one? This is mostly for you, TJ. Dallas Cowboys voluntary minicamp today.
Hey! Okay.
Did you see who showed up?
Dak is volunteering.
I'm assuming Micah showed up.
Micah Parsons showed up. Oh, the Cowboys did this funny thing where they had someone on their staff holding a worm, and the early bird got the worm. And Micah Parsons was one of the first ones to be there.
That's not weird. By the way, that's not weird at all. Somebody really held out a worm?
Yeah, you should. At Dallas Cowboys,
well,
they're posting
these
videos.
A lot of social media teams do things like that. Yeah. They're like, hold up candy. It's a big social
it's
media
not weird at all.
Thing. So, yeah, it sounds weird, but it really
is. Oh, it sounds weird. It's completely
weird. The squirrel.
Maybe the squirrel came out and took the worm.
Yeah. Brian Schottenheimer is going to be a Coach of the Year finalist this year.
You're out of your mind.
I agree.
Okay.
Why not?
What? Everyone has done nothing but crap on this selection since it was made.
I'm not saying.
I think he's going to surprise people.
Think how many coaching hires we've crapped on since it happened and turned out to be good.
Everybody's going
to
hang on here. For that to happen, the Cowboys have got to win 12 to 13 games and be a top two seed in the NFC.
And how many times have they done that with Dak? More than they haven't. Mike McCarthy won 12 games 3 years in a row.
We'll have to win 12 to 13 games.
At a point.
Okay.
We're going to hear from Dak later. He says he's fully healthy, could play today if needed.
That's great.
They still have a loaded roster. Maybe they make a move and go get Genty in the draft.
As of right
Micah
now.
Micah Parsons in a contract year?
As of right now, Chris Brockman. Is it, it's tax day, right?
Tomorrow. Today's
tomorrow.
The 14th.
Tax day?
Sadly.
Okay. On the eve of tax day. An overreaction. What else, Chris?
Oh, wow.
They might, as you know, they might not even finish in the top two in their division, let alone the conference.
Washington's going to have a sophomore slump. No?
Sounds about right.
So were the Eagles.
All right.
They can't do it again.
Okay.
Super Bowl winning hangover.
Guys.
Right.
It's a wrap.
They're still partying.
Oh my God. Look at you guys. Look at you guys.
You this too. Is wishful thinking on my Cowboys. Part. You have to understand.
Right. Cowboys.
What else, Chris?
All right. NBA playoffs are locked and loaded. Play-in tournament going to begin this week. There's going to be at least two lower seeds to win first round contests in the East.
So you're thinking would you mind possibly popping up the playoff matchups, please? Mr. Hoskins, load that up. Thank you. So you're saying the Bucks, Pistons. Well, I mean, listen, you know what? In the same way that San Diego was the pick to click to knock off the Michigan Wolverines in the first round of the playoffs. Like everybody loved that one. The whole world's going to be on the Pistons here.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, even Stephen A. went on First Take today saying he's nervous about the Knicks in this first round playoff series. I am not. So in the East, you're saying?
I'm saying two in the East.
I'll say that's an overreaction.
Donovan Mitchell's a little banged up. Maybe Cleveland gets Scott.
Get out of here, bro. Come on, man. Come on.
Orlando's plucky, man.
Low key, the Magic, man.
Yeah. You have been slandering the Cleveland Cavaliers.
That is true.
Since jump.
From the get-go.
Seriously, maybe. Since Halloween, he has been slandering the Cavs.
And I always thought this. All year, Brock was like, no one cares about the Cavs. I was like, well, why don't we talk about them and make people care about them?
Two lower seeds.
Completely uninteresting.
Two. Okay.
I saw somebody tweet out, the NBA needs to make a Cavs-Lakers finals. That would be horrible.
Guess what, man?
No, that would be for the NBA. Great.
You know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe the Magic can win their play-in game and knock the Celtics off. One and done them.
You never know.
Although that's not the scenario you're envisioning, is it?
It's not. All right. But, you know, Jalen Brown's a little banged up.
Overreaction and onward.
All right. You can keep the playoff standings up. Let's go. Either the Lakers or the Warriors are going to the Western Conference Finals.
All right. Let's check this one out. Let's go. What we got here?
And they're not going to play each other in the next round.
The Lakers beat the Timberwolves, and then you're saying the Warriors win their series and either beat the Rockets or the Thunder. Oh yeah, yeah, man. Really? You think so? Lakers or Warriors? I'll say that's not an overreaction. As you know how I feel about the Lakers. Again, I've been watching them a ton because I had Luka, LeBron, and Jackson Hayes in our fantasy. That did not go well for me once the playoffs hit.
Hey, who won that, by the way?
The man directing the show right now, John Monaco.
Oh, okay.
He crushed. He had the best team all year long.
He just rolled. No injuries.
Hold on. I I've been talking up the Lakers to the point where Cooper refers to them in the house as dad's favorite team.
Oh, no.
You're on our side.
And he does. He loves ribbing me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, Coop's the best.
So I will say this is not an overreaction.
Warriors should maybe like throw the play-in so they can face the Thunder in the first round?
Okay. Sounds good. What else? You got one more of them?
A couple more. Masters, Rich. The Masters weekend. It's the best sports weekend of the year. What was better than that this weekend?
You keep saying that. I can never sign off on anything being the greatest sports weekend of the year when it does not involve football being played.
Here's the honest truth.
I do love the Masters. The first 40 minutes of the show
And the honest truth is...
And Mike Del most, Tupo, is this my daughter practicing piano? Like, what is this?
This is the Masters.
Well, we can't play the actual theme.
We can't play the theme.
This is
called Masters Bed.
But keeping it real. Keeping it real, Rich.
Actually, my daughter plays better piano than this.
Most Super Bowls stink.
Most Super Bowls
Most of them are terrible. The Masters weekend always delivers.
Most Super Bowls stink.
Go run down the history of the Super Bowl. Most of them are bad.
Okay.
Masters weekend always delivers. What kind of emotion are you going to feel in a Super Bowl like you felt yesterday?
Okay.
I didn't feel any emotion. I was not going to say this. I didn't feel any emotion yesterday. Maybe it's just me. I feel way more emotion over football. I'm sorry.
Okay. Onward. What else you got? You got one more?
Rory's winning multiple majors this year. Like, come on!
Listen, Alan Shipnuck earlier today, when I said, what is the expectation level for Rory now that he has this weight off of his shoulders? And he goes, one by one of the majors this year and where Rory's already been successful at. And the fact that he says that at the end of the day, that the Open Championship is in Northern Ireland.
Where he holds the course record.
Right, where he shot it. He said 61. He shot a 61 when he was like 16 or 17.
Yeah. I mean, you're...
I think that's not an overreaction. All he's got to do is just win one of the final three, and you're correct. So
it's going to be fun.
I take this music down. It's putting me to sleep. It's Overreaction Monday, everybody.
Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting towards your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards since 2006 because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. Hyundai vehicles have won over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards from 2006 to 2024.
The diehard Patriot fan who loves the Super Bowl more than anybody else has spent the entire commercial break reading down the list of Super Bowls and how bad they are to prove his point that the Masters weekend is the greatest weekend in
Rich,
sports.
50% of the Super Bowls in the last 30 years have been terrible games.
I'm not saying that it's got to be that the Super Bowl weekend is better. How does that sound? You know what? I'm going to say something that I've never said publicly, but I'm going to say it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, is that I get bummed watching Super Bowls. I get bummed.
Because it's over?
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's a me problem. That's an MP.
I feel the same way.
You know
sometimes,
what I mean? Like sometimes it's tough to watch because I know this
is
it.
This is it.
And it feels so big. It just takes you out of the usual just sense of what a football game is.
Yeah. Then it's 34 to nothing in the third quarter.
Because so much about it, so much about it is more than the game. The halftime show. As much as the NFL tries, the halftime of Thanksgiving will never be bigger than the actual Thanksgiving game ever. Okay? They try to make those things big. And by the way, that's fun. You know, Scott Stapp and
can you take me higher?
Yeah, he can take me higher.
Yes.
But still, it's not bigger than the Cowboys game that he was in the middle of.
No.
The Super Bowl's different. Commercials are bigger than the game for some people.
No, the Super Bowl.
And you're at a party. Like sometimes when you want to watch your game, you need to just be locked in.
Yes.
And that's the end of it.
Yep.
Did you go to a Masters party? Of course not.
I was too stressed.
Damn straight. You're just going to sit there and you're just going to tell the free world, leave me alone for 3 hours.
It's a solo watching
That's
event.
It. So the Super Bowl is different. I'm not saying the Super Bowl. Give me a sports weekend that involves football being played. I cannot ever say this month is the best sports month of the year if there's no football being played in it. And I can't say this is the greatest weekend in sports if there's no football being played on it. I can just give you an amorphous, it's got to be football.
April is a good one.
Okay, because you got college sometimes, and then you got pro. Come on, man. I love the Masters. It is a tradition unlike any other. And CBS kills it. The broadcast is dynamite.
It's not even close to anything else.
It's top of the line, top shelf. But if it does not involve football being played, it can't be the best month and it can't be the best weekend.
You're wrong.
By the way, you want to go down to Masters Sundays when it's a total blowout and there's nothing, you know, it's just like.
Those you can count on one hand. Super Bowls is 50% bad games. I'm just counting the
list. Not in the last 20 years, pal.
10 of the first 30 games were good of the Super Bowl. And we just ran it down.
It's a different era, 10 of the first 30 games.
Like, we just ran it down. Since the Cowboys were there, you're like talking about 10 good games.
You want to talk about the
16,
first 30 years of the NFL? Okay. Fine. Then let's talk about how great the MASH episode was. You know what I mean? Like, it means nothing. Nowadays, you cannot. I will.
The Super Bowl's an event. The Super Bowl's an event.
You gotta leave
that
the Super
watches.
Bowl out. Leave the Super Bowl out. Oh, of
you just want like Week 8 is better than a Masters weekend?
No, like there is a weekend where this college football is killing it, and then the professional games are great. It could be like a Week 12, a Week 13. It absolutely could. And you are locked in, and you are gambling your friggin' head off.
That's true.
All right.
It's
so
multiple games.
I mean, I'm live betting golf.
I know you're excited about that. Did you put any money on Justin Rose?
I did.
I'm damn straight you did.
I had the whole leaderboard pepper.
Oh, you are wired. No wonder he was loving on Sunday. It's fantastic.
I had Justin Rose 110.
Back on the Rich Eisen show. Recent news and uncertainties around the economy really hits home for all of us. One thing that stands out is Hyundai's commitment to supporting American consumers and making investments in this country. And no surprise, Hyundai has announced they're not going to raise the MSRP on their vehicles through June 2nd, 2025. They believe in investing right here in America, $21 billion to be exact, in the next 3 years. That's all meant to expand manufacturing and help create jobs for more jobs for Americans. It's not just talk. Hyundai is about action. Call 562-314-4603 for more details. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take your calls in hour 3. Malachi Starks, Georgia Bulldog.
Hey.
Going to be joining us.
Go Ducks.
You got a news update as well. Are we folding Dak into that?
We're going to put Dak in the news update.
Dak.
Go for it.
You want to do it right now?
Yeah. Listen, Oh, we only got 2 minutes left in this segment.
I agree with you, though, Rich.
Which is what?
Well, I mean, with all due respect to golf, it just doesn't have that.
Yeah, TJ was
it just doesn't
out.
Have that, right. that appeal. Well, like you said, yeah, a party. Exactly. It's very simple. You can get people to come to a Super Bowl party.
Now, I know. My peripheral vision is excellent. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I see the way you took in the beginning of our program. I know you're not a golfer. Okay. I know you're not a golfer. You don't go out there. You're not looking like. You're one of the many Americans, I'm sure, or internationally, that can appreciate the story, appreciate the pageantry, but you're not looking at that yesterday like Brockman and I are, which is like, I got to go play. You know what I mean? Like, that's the sense. Mm-hmm. Whenever I watch a Masters, I'm like, get me out there.
I want to go buy some new clubs. And I want to go play.
Right, and I go out there, and then 2 holes in, I'm like, what am I doing?
Right, okay. I'm back.
So I understand why you wouldn't say, oh, Masters weekend is one of the best weekends in the sport.
Like this is WrestleMania weekend for me. This is the greatest.
I understand that. Right? And for other people, they might not view it as that way as well. Football cuts across everything, okay?
But you can't go play football.
There was a reason why. That's not true. You can go right in your backyard and do it.
Have a catch with your boy.
What are you talking about?
That's not the same as...
Well, I mean, we're not suiting up and playing 11 on 11.
But with golf, you can.
I understand. But, you know... You're wrong and I'm right. It's basically
I could literally do what Roy did yesterday. Start with a double and hit it in the water.
Yes, you can. I've seen it.
Like we can do that. We can do exactly what he did.
Sorry.
I know that. That was my reaction on 13 when he put it in the water. I'm like, I said to myself, did he, Rory McIlroy, decel. Did he decelerate on his 86 yarder, which is what I would do if I was at Augusta National and I'm in the position that he is in. And it's entirely possible that I could be because I'm not playing from the tips.
No, you're playing member tees.
Okay. Well, whatever. So bottom line is I am playing and I could possibly catch a couple of shots where I'm in the same position and it's 86 yards away and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, this is hole 13 at Augusta National. I cannot believe I am here. Oh, that's Ray's Creek. Oh, that's a whole massive amount of green space for me to just hit it. I got to do is keep my head down and swing through the ball. That's all I need to do. And then I will just, Badunk. Like a complete moron in the middle of my swing, go, oh, I'm going to screw this thing up. Let me decel. Oh, God, there it. And then I'm like, where's my other ball?
Where's the drop zone?
Yeah, where am I going? He did it. So, yes, we can do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. And when you're watching football, you're not sitting there thinking, man,
can't do anything those guys
pads,
can do.
I got to get pads and a helmet.
You can't jump backwards over someone. You can't make a toe tapping catch. You can't throw it 80 yards.
I get it. That does not mean any weekend in which football is being played can't be the best weekend in sports just for the mere fact it has to be out there. It does. It just cuts across every demographic.
I'm actually looking forward to the comments on this video just to see what people have to say about this because it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
Well,
discussion.
As you know, you'll just have to tell me about it because I don't read them.
I know.
On purpose. But
I do.
Come on, man.
I
know you're so, like, you're so psyched. Your guy won. Your guy finally did
it. Finally did it.
You have been living and dying for a decade.
Oh, my gosh.
It finally happened every year. It's been like Groundhog Day. You come on our show.
I know.
Tuesday,
it's
going to be Rory's week. It's going to be Rory's week. And it finally is Rory's week. It finally happened.
It was amazing.
Again, there is nothing like Augusta National. It is the Lambeau Field or Cameron Indoor, whatever you want to say, is the most iconic thing of your sport.
DMSG.
It is that for golf. It is unbelievable. But it is not professional football. And it cannot be the best sports week of the year because of that.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.